I'm not the kind of girl you see on TV. Won't even find me only in the streets. Oh, honey, I will love you to the end. Be your best friend. Classy lady, can't you see? Tweeter, tweeter, dabble, tweetin' daddy. Show people to tweet, dabble, tweetin' today. I will love you to the end. Be your best friend. Classy lady, can't you see? Tweet up a tweet and doo-doo, but tweet day. Tweet up a tweet and doo-doo, but tweet day. Tweet up a tweet and doo-doo, but tweet day. Tweet up a tweet and doo-doo, but tweet day. Day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Introducing Sasha Frank, the series. We're at episode number 42, and as always, I like to do a little recap of last week's episode. So, sometimes you find yourself having to navigate moving out day, moving day, your moving day, when you have to leave behind everything that you once knew, the comfort that you had, the friends that you made, the neighbors, the neighborhood, just everything that you've grown accustomed to, and you have to say goodbye to that part of you so you can start a new chapter, a new beginning, and just start this new chapter, a fresh slate, essentially. So here I was starting a new chapter, and it was awesome. You know, I finally had a roommate that I was, first of all, around my age and I related to. She was within the entertainment industry as well as my other roommate. But, you know, we were the same age, more relatable. And she just had so much drive and hunger to get to work and to be able to use her gift. And I found that to be very refreshing because, you know, sometimes you can be around people who are jaded from the industry, and that can take a toll on you, and they can start to give you ideas or, you know, push their ideals upon you, their failures, their struggles, their experiences, and all of that stuff. But anyways, we both were starting afresh. She had just moved from Texas, from the southern state, and she lived in Los Angeles for a couple of months. She finally got, you know, an apartment by herself, and here I was, her roommate, and we were finally starting this new chapter essentially together. And so this kind of leads me into my next conversation. And so that entire year that I lived in Burbank, it was not, you know, lost. It was not in vain or any of that, because everything that I did was leading me up to this moment. And pretty much I had everything on repeat. I went to school during the evening, and then I also went to work in the daytime. And, you know, as my contract jobs arose. And so while I was in school, I was studying music and just any creative avenue that I could. Then I was also doing like a memoir writing class as well and other things. But in addition to that, I also took it upon myself to, you know, hone my craft at home. And I used a program that, you know, allowed me to kind of just build my skill set and production, and I just wanted to do as much as I could with it because I had so many different ideas, melodies that always flown through my head and all of that stuff. So this was the moment where I was just cultivating and fine tuning, and I decided that, you know, after taking a production class in the evening, that I was going to go to this conference that I found. And this conference was a producers conference right in the heart of Hollywood, California. And thankfully, it was only 15 minutes away this time around. And, you know, it was amazing. I felt so compelled to be around like-minded individuals and just people who were trying to fine-tune their craft and, you know, meet and network with people and all of that stuff. So it was just amazing just to be around like-minded people. But of course, as you know, within the production industry, it's not really that big for women. So I didn't really see that many women there. There was probably a handful of women that I saw. And even still in that, you know, I still made connections. It felt good, like I said, to be around creatives this time around. And it reminded me of a time when I first graduated college. And, you know, some of the people that I met in my classes, well, they were in production as well. And so we kind of formed a production team. And we would meet occasionally and write and co-create and meet at different studios and just try to come up with something. And it was an awesome experience. However, I was just very fresh, very new. And of course, you're always going to be new and like trying to navigate through different things. But like I was literally just deciding that I wanted to kind of go down that path because it was definitely something that I was interested in. And so we formed this production team and I was the third one added. And so they were the beat makers, the producers, and I was supposed to be the writer because I love to write. And of course, like they co-wrote some of the things as well if I needed help or if we were just co-writing in that session. And so, I don't know, like I just always felt like I never could unleash what I wanted to say. And I just kind of always felt myself holding back and like they had been around this environment for some time and they had other people that would come into the studio and then I would get so nervous and all of that stuff. And so, you know, eventually, like they started working with other people and we kind of split and went our different directions. They're still a team, but definitely God, I can say, had his hand. He was just kind of introducing me into that environment, but not necessarily having me stay there. I did learn some things about myself and other things, and it allowed me to allow my creative juices to kind of flow. Have you had a situation like this before where it was kind of like an introduction within an industry or something that you enjoyed that you didn't really know why you were going down that lane, but for whatever reason you felt like God was encouraging you to do so? Think about that. So as I said, that production team, I ended up splitting ways with them, and especially because I ended up moving back to my parents' house, and it was kind of a distance of a drive, and I was trying to find a job, so it wasn't really a smart idea to continue to go and meet with them if, you know, budgeting a gas, just having a gas budget wasn't necessarily in the picture, which eventually, you know, like I said, I worked with my mentor and stuff like that. And I had the money somehow, you know, definitely God provided, but for whatever reason, it was shutting for that situation and I was okay with it. And they continued on and I just continued to work on my craft by myself. And, through my mentor, he introduced me to other production programs, like I said, and I just continued. They introduced me, my mentor introduced me to something further, and I just really, really thought that I needed to take my time to just figure this stuff out. And I was just so yearning to learn it. Not just because other people said not to worry about it and let guys kind of do that, play that role. I wanted to do it because of, it was just something that I wanted, because I know in the past, you know, I had created songs or had ideas that didn't really pan out the way that I expected it to. And it was because I didn't have the creative control. So I really, really wanted to focus on having that creative control, because it was very important, not only for this moment, but for moments to come in the future. I knew that I needed to just grab a hold of that and really cultivate that area as much as I could. And so, like I said, I ended up going to a Hollywood convention, and it was for producers, and majority of the attendees were guys, and that was okay, and some were girls as well, and I linked up with some of them. I got their contacts, and you know, I was just really, really excited to be able to start this new phase and hopefully build a team around me. Like, I have been yearning for a team for some time. I had been working solely for some time, and I just really wanted to just build a team around me to help, you know, us promote each other and to build each other up. And I just really yearn for something like that. And so that was what that taught me. But a reflection for it all, you know, even being in the production team, it just really taught me to not lean on other people and just not to like focus on them doing it for me. But it taught me that I needed to be able to do the work myself as well. I needed to be able to stand on my own. And when we did split, it allowed me to be able to see what I could do and to use the knowledge that I had and gained, and to have my creativity flow instead of allowing someone else's creativity to drive what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to be able to be creative the whole process through. And that's definitely what I learned. And I think that that's something that we all learn, no matter if it's, you know, music wise or production or books or writing or whatever the case is. Like, we have to learn to stand on our own, because a lot of times, sometimes people can take advantage of the fact that you are a little bit gullible, or that you are a bit green in certain areas, and that you haven't decided to put in the effort to learn different things, and you've, you know, just decided to just, you know, allow other people to do it. And it also reminds me it also reminds me of another story where, you know, because I do vintage blogging and all that stuff. And so I met an individual who also did blogging, and she focused on style blogging. And she kind of, you know, came to me and said that, you know, pitched to me that we should kind of collaborate. And, you know, I thought that it would be an amazing opportunity, because she was very vocal. She, you know, she went to networking parties. We just had two different personalities, and I thought that we'd reach different people, and I thought that that would be amazing. But the thing is, you know, she wanted me to kind of come alongside of her, change my name, and just be underneath her. And like, us work together, but it would be under her name. And she had this whole vision and plan and idea. And, you know, I had ideas for myself, and a lot of the things that she wanted to do, like, I was already doing it. And so, you know, it took a lot of me to kind of stand up for myself and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to collaborate with you or partner with you on this, because I already have my own thing going, and I'm already doing fine, and already have a vision and all of that stuff. And just looking back on it, like a lot of people, like I said, knowingly or unknowingly, sometimes they kind of take advantage of you and they can see something inside of you that you might not be able to see or to see at the fullest extent. And they want to grab a hold of some of it. They want to be a part of that. And some people want to be a part of it and have good intentions, while other people want to be a part of it for, you know, intentions that are selfish and that are only for personal gain, and they're not really looking out for the other people or person or whatever. They just kind of want to sweep something, a good idea that you have, sweep it right under your feet, from under your feet, and, you know, bring it into their corner. And a lot of people do that. And I think that's definitely one of the biggest things that I've learned, is people take advantage, and you have to recognize what you do have, and you have to keep it sacred and to yourself and private. And a lot of times, instead of trying to be around people and just build this team, you should definitely take time to focus on what it is that you want and allow God to unveil the vision that He has for you, instead of, you know, going according to what people say that you should do. Because a lot of the times people will say, oh, I think you should do that. But in reality, God has already placed inside of you something that you need to do, and it's kind of contrary to what they've said. And sometimes it's similar to what they've said, but maybe you're not supposed to do it with them. And I think at the end of the day, you just have to learn to stand on your own two feet before you can spread your wings and fly. And you have to do the dirty work, the rolling up your sleeves and getting dirty in the background without people noticing and recognizing, without even sharing what you're doing to people, because you need to do it. It's not for them, it's not for other people, but it's to help you be able to grow and exponentially, and to move forward in what you're trying to do, because you can't do it if you don't have all the knowledge behind it, and you're only kind of just taking what other people say and their knowledge instead of actually experiencing it for yourself and, you know, getting books and reading on it or taking classes. You need to do those things so you won't be fooled in the process, so that you will have creative control, so that you will know the full vision, and that nobody can ever, you know, take it away from you or try to deter you from it. And so that can kind of definitely determine who you want around you. But the first things first is you need to stand on your own two feet first. You need to do that first before you can ever, or before you should, start going after other people or putting teams together. And better yet, you should allow God to put teams together. So I hope you guys learned from this conversation. I'm going to continue on in this story the next episode. And until next time. All right. Bye.